guy's name is Spafford. I wrote that. And it starts out there, whether you like everything is going very peaceful, or whether it seems like that your life is turned upside down. When you know God is in control of everything, it ought to be well with our soul.
Amen.
We ought to be saying, Lord, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And what a great song and what a great message there. Thank you. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah 16. A father and son arrived in a small western town looking for an uncle whom they had never seen. Suddenly, the father, pointing across the square to a man who was walking away from them, exclaimed, "There goes my uncle." The son asked, "How do you know when you have not seen him before?" He said, "Son, I know him because he walks exactly like my father." I like that story. You know, it tells us that we all have different strides, that's true. We all walk a certain way physically, that's true. But I'm not here today, and you ought to guess, I'm not here today to talk to us about physically walking in this world, but I'm here to talk about our spiritual walk this morning. And you know, it's possible that people can watch us, how we walk in this Christian life, how we behave ourselves in this Christian life. They can watch the way that we walk spiritually and know that we're a child of God. And so it's important for us to understand what's going on. And do people know that you are a child of God by the way that you walk before them, by the way you behave before them? We live in a world today, physically, where people are walking a lot physically. It may be for exercise. It may be for social interaction. Some people combine the two and have it. I know my late uncle that just had a funeral here this past year passed away, and he had a habit of going about 20 minutes away to a mall, and there he would meet some friends, and they would walk on a regular basis. And that was both for exercise and for social interaction, because my aunt had died many years earlier, and so he was by himself, and it was good to get out and to have some interaction that way. But some people are involved in walking at work, stay on their feet all day, nurses, teachers, others, that's what they do. Part of their responsibility. But none of us were born into this world already knowing how to walk physically. Every one of us had to learn how to walk physically. Well, the same thing is true for us in our spiritual lives. None of us are born again into this world. We're not saved into this world already knowing how to walk and behave ourselves spiritually in order to please God. We have to be taught. We have to learn the skill of walking in this Christian life, walking in a way that will please the Lord. Those practical skills take some time. And you're not going to be perfect when you first start. And unfortunately, I found out that I have fallen at all kinds of ages, and I'm becoming a little bit more cautious to protect from falling now. I don't know if any of you have missed the bottom step going down, coming off of the ladder. There are many things that can happen. I've even been carrying some boxes and started to go up my front steps, and my toe caught the first step. Some of you have been there. Glad you weren't there when that happened. I've got some other stories about falling I could tell. You know, some people, when they fall, the first thing they do is jump up and look around and see if anybody was watching. I felt like doing that too sometimes. But anyway, today I've entitled the message, Walk This Way. Father, I pray that as we look into your word, as we consider this particular subject, that you would let us not only understand the facts of what is being presented, but Lord, that we may understand how that applies to our lives, how we are to behave ourselves, conduct ourselves in this world as your children, Lord, as citizens of heaven, that we are to behave ourselves in such a way that people would recognize our citizenship. And I pray that you would help us not just to understand the difference, but Lord, that we would be able to leave out of here better equipped to do it. And we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is much that God has said to us in Scripture about walking. We have, and as we'll get to this here in Jeremiah 16 in just a moment, but there's a couple of men early in Scripture that I want to bring to your remembrance. A man named Enoch there in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24 says that Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, for God took him. Now, there's a couple of things of interest in that verse. The first one we'll get back to, of course, that's Enoch walked with God, but that God took him. It's kind of like the first form of the rapture taking place. Enoch did not experience death, but God took him miraculously from this life right into his presence, is the indication. And so we have here that Enoch was that kind of a man. But that walking we want to investigate. What does it mean that Enoch walked with God? Well, Scripture is the best commentary on Scripture itself. And as you compare, we find in Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the Hall of Faith chapter, it talks about Enoch there also. And in chapter 11 of Hebrews, in verse 5, it says that Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. So we have walking with God connected to pleasing God. And so we are to walk, behave ourselves in such a way that God would be pleased with it. We see it in the New Testament in the talents parable, how that there was a response of the Savior that said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." All right, that's a response of pleasure for what those servants had done. And it's one in which I hope that we would each look to and say, "Lord, I hope that that would be your evaluation of me." None of us are perfect, but certainly we're to be chasing perfection. And that means hopefully we'll catch some excellence. But anyway, we are to be pleasing God. And as I asked you this question before, made the statement very clear, you can't please God if you don't know what pleases Him. Okay? And so unless you know what God is like, unless you know what pleases Him, how can you possibly please Him? It's going to be a trial and error, a chance that you're taking that you're pleasing God. So the knowledge of God is very important for us to have in order to walk or behave ourselves in such a way that pleases Him. The second man is that of Noah. In chapter 6 and verse 9, it says that Noah was a just man. Goes on to say that he was perfect and that Noah walked with God. All right, so I want to investigate those three things there. First of all, he was a just man. The word just has to do with being righteous. Justified, we use in Scripture. Once we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified. The word means to be declared righteous. We have an easy way of remembering, made just as if you'd never sinned. It is that declaring us to be righteous, and it has to do with righteousness, and it's tied back into Hebrews chapter 11, right after Enoch, we have and read about Noah in verse 7. It says, by faith he became heir of righteousness. He inherited righteousness, which is by faith. And so we have this fact that he was a just man. He was righteous, and it's tied to his faith. And it also says he was a perfect man. The word means blameless. And it has and carries the idea of one toward other people. In other words, there was nothing in his life glaringly mistake-wise of sin that other people could point to and say, hey, I see your sin very easily, you see. It was a good testimony of what he was. It's not saying that he was perfect without any sin. There is no person ever have lived that was perfect without any sin except for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so we have this understanding that God called him perfect in the sense that he was blameless. He was nothing glaring in his life. He took care of those things in his relationship with the Lord. And so we have blameless toward men. We have righteous or just toward God. And he was one that walked then with God. Tying those thoughts together. Now we look at Jeremiah 16. We'll pick up reading in verse 10. And we're going to see how incorrectly some walk. Verse 10 says, "And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us?" In other words, why has God brought all of this judgment upon us? "Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked," there is our term, "have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk," there is again our walk, "ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that you know not." God said, "I'm going to bring judgment on you because of what you have done." And so they were guilty of walking after, following after other gods. Other priorities in their life we could use in our day. I don't think any of you out here have any statues sitting out in your front yard that you worship as a false god. I don't think any of you have a Buddha sitting on your mantle there at the house. I don't think there's any kind of gods of that nature that you would recognize in your life. But any one of us and every one of us struggle in our thoughts of the Lord, in our following of him, to not let other things take priority over God in our lives. Because when we put other things first before God, that is an idol. That's what idolatry is. And so we need to be careful to recognize that. God sees that as being very sinful. A sinful walk, following after other gods, other priorities. And they were guilty of following after their own desires. We have to be careful of that as well. We tend to be people that say, "Well, I want to follow the Lord. I want to do what he says." But when it comes down to practical everyday living, do we compare that with what God says in his word, or we just make choices based on what we feel like that we would like to do? This is what I think I'll do. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. This is what. There's no consideration of the Lord. They walked after their own desires. This should lead us to ask and answer several questions. Number one is, how are we not to walk? What are some things that we see in Scripture that indicate to us and identify to us what we're not to do? If you'll take your Bibles, please, and turn to the New Testament in Philippians chapter 3. We'll get there momentarily. While you're turning there, in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, led by the Holy Spirit's direction, in verse 17, he said, that we're not to walk like other Gentiles walk. other lost people walk in the vanity of their minds, etc. Obviously, that should be something that we would recognize. God doesn't want us to behave ourselves like lost people in this world. He wants us to be different from that. In John 15:19, Jesus said, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You know, there are some people today, as believers, struggle with this idea that they're wanting to be accepted by lost people that they work with, or they go to school with, or that's around them in their neighborhood, and family members. And so they struggle with, you know, if I live a certain way, if I take a certain stand, if I speak up for the truth of what God says, they're not going to like me. They're not going to include me. They're going to think me strange. They're going to maybe even overlook me when it comes time for a promotion or to be chosen for some task or improvement. Don't think it's a strange thing when that happens. Jesus said, "I want you to be different from the world. I've called you out from amongst this world." I've told you before, and you know it very well, the saying that goes along with that, that it's okay for the boat to be in the water, but it's not okay for the water to be in the boat. And it's okay for us as believers to be in this world, but it's not okay for this world to be in us believers. Amen. We are to be different.
Amen.
God has called us unto that. And so it's important for us to recognize in 2 Corinthians 6:17. We're told there, "Wherefore come out from among them," the world, "and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Be a father unto you." Jeremiah 7:24 tells us that we're not to walk after our own desires. And in 2 Peter 2:10, it speaks of those who walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. All of these things are things that we're not to walk after. Now look with me here in Philippians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 17, we read here Paul writing. He says, "Brethren," who's he speaking to? Christians here, brethren. "Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Okay? He says, well, we'll get to that, what he says, but just to keep that in mind. And then notice what he says. In parentheses, he says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." All right, here's those that probably are claiming to be, at least claim to be Christians, believers, but they're walking as enemies against the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. The belly meaning their fleshly appetites. And whose glory is in their shame. In other words, they brag about things that they ought to be embarrassed about. Have you ever been around a Christian that has done that? They talk about something that they did and so forth, and I thought, as they were talking, I thought, you really ought to be a little embarrassed about admitting that. Anyway, they glory in the things that, in their shame, who mind earthly things instead of setting your affections on things above. Their affections all is on things of the earth, on earthly things. "For our conversation is in heaven." We talk about our citizenship is in heaven. It's more than just our citizenship, but it's our conduct as a citizen should look like one that is from heaven. Okay? The way that we behave ourselves should be in line with our citizenship of what we claim. "Our conversation is in heaven, our behavior, from whence also, from where we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body," etc., etc. We have that understanding. But God says there, don't walk like these who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, after their own fleshly appetites. after their own shameful acts, after their own earthly affections. Don't walk in those things. Walk not. But then how are we to walk? Here in verse 17, as we begin reading, he said, be followers together of me, and mark the others that are walking like you have us for an example. The ones that are good examples, behave yourself like them, like myself, as he was saying. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, be followers together of me as I am of Christ. Walk like I'm walking, because I'm walking like Christ. That's what he was saying in the context of chapter 3 here, Philippians. You remember where he said in verse 12, I haven't apprehended yet, haven't got there yet. This one thing I do in verse 13, in verse 14, I press toward the mark of the prize. What is that mark of the prize he's talking about there? It's Christ-likeness. Being like Jesus Christ. We are to pursue what Jesus Christ was like. Again, you can't be like Christ if you don't know what Christ was like. We've got to have the knowledge in the Word of God. And so we have here that we are to walk like these godly examples are to us. Walk like me, he says, like the goal that he was pressing toward. We're told elsewhere in Scripture that we're to walk in love, in a loving way, in our behavior. We're to walk in wisdom. Where do you get wisdom? Book of James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so we're to walk in wisdom. There's quite often that I have paused and asked the Lord for that. Lord, I need your wisdom. Because I can't just look at things and out of my understanding make a judgment. I need God's wisdom to show me what I need to do and how I need to do it. It's important for that. And we must walk in wisdom. We're to walk in truth. What is truth? God's word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As truth, God, the Lord Jesus said, John 17:17, I believe. And so we are to recognize that if we're going to walk in truth, we've got to know what the truth is. What is our theme? Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Hopefully that's our commitment, each one of us. Lord, open my eyes to understand your truth, that I may walk in that truth. We're to walk in truth. We're to walk in honesty, decency, honorably. That's our testimony, or should be our testimony before other people. We're to walk in good works, the Scripture tells us. We're to demonstrate by our life, by our living, by our actions, these good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We have these responsibilities to walk in, but there's something that we are to walk by. What is it? We're to walk by faith, not by sight. How many of you walk by faith? How many of you walk by faith all the time? How many of you walk by sight sometimes? You know, it's okay. There are a lot of things that come across in our life that God has allowed us to see, and we can walk by sight. Let me ask you something. When does faith begin? I heard it over here. It's when sight ends. When you can no longer see how it's going to work. You know that it's one thing to say, Lord, I'll obey you. I'll do what you want. I'll behave like you want because I see how all that's going to work. But it's when he wants us to do something that we can't see how that's going to work. How is that going to end up being good for me? How is that going to help in my life? When we don't see to understand, that's when faith begins. And so we're not walking by faith until God tells us and asks us to step out onto something that we can't see ourselves. Kind of like submission in a way. Children, are you in submission to your parents? Yeah. Until they ask me to do something that I don't really care about doing. Well, I submit to you that that's the only time submission comes into play. You see? The other times you were okay with doing whatever they said. When I was a kid, my granddaddy French on my mom's side had a farm, and on this farm he had some... my uncle had a couple of Shetland ponies. And when we would go to visit, my cousins and all of us get out there, and we wanted our uncle to get the Shetland ponies out and let us ride them. He'd get them out there, get them saddled up and everything ready to go. But those ponies had one thing in mind, and that is to go to the stable and eat. And as long as you got on the pony and said, "Yeah, I feel like going to the stable," yeah, we would go right where we wanted. The pony would go right where I wanted to go. But if I decided, "No, I think I want to go up by the barns," oh, it was a tough thing to convince that pony to go somewhere other than the stable. You see, and as long as we're going along, and we see and understand, and it's okay with us where God is saying to go, there's not much faith involved in that. But when God asks us to step out in a direction or to do something that we're not sure about, that's when faith steps in. Do we walk by faith and not by sight? We have to ask ourselves the question. God wants us to walk in. He wants us to walk light. He wants us to walk by faith genuinely. We're to walk in the newness of life in Romans 6, 4. We're to walk in Ephesians 5, 8. Walk as children of light, as believers. In Colossians 1 and verse 10 says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. There's that word again. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, wouldn't you know that he would put that in there? Because, as I said earlier, we can't walk unto all pleasing if we don't know what pleases God. And so, therefore, increasing in the knowledge of God. All of these things are things that we are to walk. How we're to walk, by what we're to walk. Now, how do we then do it? What will help us? If you'll turn with me back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. While you're turning there, there's another familiar verse I want to share with you. It's Amos 3 and verse 3. It talks about walking and asks the question. It says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed?" The word agreed, it means to come together in unity and in harmony, to agree together. That's important, because if we're not in agreement, if we have not come together in agreement, we cannot walk together. God wants us to walk with him. But if we're not in agreement with him on the same page. Here we have another familiar passage. I hope it's familiar to you. In 2 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 14, it says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. All right, he's going to be talking about believers with unbelievers. Okay. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion, the word means unity. What communion, what unity hath light with darkness? And what concord, here the word means harmony. What concord, what harmony hath Christ with Belial, the worthless one? Or what part, participation here. What part, what participation hath he that believeth with an infidel, with a non-believer? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God says that we are his temple. Our body is his temple. We're bought with a price, and the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. And as the temple for the Holy Spirit of God in us, he says, we are to be then in agreement, in harmony. We are to be in fellowship with God, not with the lost world. Therefore, the verse that we read earlier in the message tonight, today, verse 17, he concludes, wherefore, this reason, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He says that we are to come out and be different. We're to be in agreement with God. We're to be in fellowship with God. We're to have harmony with God. And if we're trying to hold one foot over here with the world and to have harmony and agreement and fellowship with them and same time to do it with God, it's not going to work. God says, I will not share my glory with another. Amen. We've got to make the choice. We must be in unity. We must be in harmony. But it's not just something that we say with our mouth. It's something that we practice in our walk. In 1958, I know that's before many of your times. Unfortunately, it's not before mine. Of course, I don't remember much back then. But I read this. It said, in 1958, America's first commercial jet air service began with the flight of the Boeing 707. A month after that first flight, a traveler on a propeller-driven DC-6 airliner struck up a conversation with a fellow passenger. The passenger happened to be a Boeing engineer. The traveler asked the engineer about the new jet aircraft, and whereupon the engineer began to speaking at length about the extensive testing Boeing had done on the jet engine before bringing it into commercial service. He recounted Boeing's experience with engines from the B-17 to the B-52, and when his traveling companion asked him if he himself had yet flown on the new 707 jet airliner, the engineer replied, I think I'll wait until it's been in service a while. Boy, he had a lot of talk, but he didn't have much walk. You've heard the expression, talk is cheap. Here we are talking about our walk today. Talk is cheap. We can say that we walk by faith. We can say that we walk to please the Lord. We can say, but when it comes down to it, does our walk express the truth? What's that saying? It goes, I haven't planned on saying it here, but your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. It's our walk that needs to talk. In John, 1 John chapter 1, John speaks there, directed by the Lord, about walking with the Lord, about fellowshipping is the idea that's behind it. And there was to walk, there must be fellowship with the Lord. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And then he talked about also there must be confession. 1 John 1:9, since we have sinned, not if, We are to confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there must be fellowship with the Lord, but in order to have that fellowship, there must be confession. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Wise walk is a cautious walk, circumspectly, looking around. So we're to walk with confession, we're to walk with the Spirit's control, and we're to walk in caution, cautiously, so we don't fall. At whatever age, we need to be walking with the Lord. Psalm chapter 1, I believe, sums it up very well. I'll leave you with this. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." In other words, don't walk. Get away from the evil influencers in your life. Don't walk like them. Don't let them lead you down the wrong path. "But his delight," the blessed man, "his delight is in the law of the Lord," God's word. "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." Meditate, to think about. Keep that in mind. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Here we have this blessed man. Don't walk like the other evil influencers try to influence you to walk. Do delight yourself in the Word of God. Do meditate on His Word. Think about it over and over, how that applies to you. And the result is consistent fruit bearing in your life. There's no signs of drought in your life spiritually. There's no need, obvious. And there will be prosperity. A similar verse. Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Think about it day and night. "That thou mayest observe to do what? To do according to all that is written therein." Meditate. Think on it in order to do it. Think on it in order to do it. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Keep it on your mind in order to do it. I told you before, one of my favorite verses when it comes to walking is 3 John verse 4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." That's true of my physical children. It's true of you spiritual children. I have no greater joy than to hear that you're walking in God's truth. So as I teach you God's truth, may you respond to walk in His way. The teaching part is on me. The walking in His way is on you. I encourage you to follow what God says. He, through His word, will never lead you astray. Every way that He leads you, even when you can't see how it's going to work, every way He leads you will be the best place to be to receive that blessed man description. Following Him. So let's commit to watching our step as we finish these last few weeks of summer, that we may walk in God's truth. Every head bow, please. told in Scripture that you'll hear a word in your ear behind you saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." God gives us that word written that we have that we must investigate and learn. But His Holy Spirit can also speak and direct us, but never in contradiction to the written word. God never contradicts Himself. Will you commit today to continuing to learn God's word? And will you submit today, surrender, to go wherever and do whatever the Lord wants you to do through it? We're going to sing in just a moment. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His glory and grace, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. That's what we want. Father, I pray that You will and have spoken to our hearts about the responsibility that we have to live and to follow You. May we walk the way that would please You. May we walk in faith, believing You. And may we walk in such a way that it would be a clear example to others that may follow. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.